good to see everyone here today. Glad that you are here. You're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we pray that everything that we do will be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Not only that, but also edifying and encouraging one another. The Bible does talk about how an assembly does have two purposes. One, mainly, is to glorify God. But secondly, it is to encourage and edify one another. And we do that with our worship every Lord's Day. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful that you are our Father. We realize, Father, that in this world, some have wonderful fathers. Some people never knew their father. Some have had very wicked and awful fathers. Some have had some that just didn't care. But we know, Lord, that you, as our spiritual Father, are the perfect Father. You love us so much that you gave your only Son, Jesus, to die for us, and we're thankful for that. Thankful, Lord, that we can meet together and worship. Grateful that you established the idea of assembling on the first day of the week, and that we can meet together to not only worship you and worship Christ, but to encourage and edify one another. Bless us, Father, throughout the rest of our service. Bless us in our lives to do everything we can to be pleasing to you. We pray for your holy child, Jesus, and amen. Now for a scripture reading this morning, I want us to turn over to the book of James. James. James chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse number 13. James chapter 4, begin at verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There are some issues in life which are so fundamental that you have to give some time to think about the seriousness of a particular question in mind. Today we're going to look at some of those issues. We are to certainly examine ourselves. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let each one examine himself. And it is the case that in many, many businesses, I guess in most businesses, at certain times they have a day where they say we must take inventory. I know when I worked at a store, we would close the store usually for 2 days. It was a department store, a pretty large department store. And in those 2 days we still had to work, but we would just take account. Back then we didn't have computers, we didn't have just a clipboard and several pads, and we'd say so many shirts, so many pairs of pants, so many ties, so many this, so many that, so many that. Go to the china glass and give department so many sets of Nartaki, so many sets of this, so many sets of that, all these type of things. And the reason for that is several reasons, really. Number one, to see how much stock we have, what do we really have, and also to see what has been selling. What really do people want to buy? And really is the plan for the business. Well, in life, we all have to take a life inventory. Look at, honestly at our lives and say, what really is going on in my life? James asked the question here, what is your life? That's the question we've asked this morning. Let's take a life inventory and ask, what really is your life? There are three basic matters we're going to look at. They're all related, but we want to think about these things, three things this morning. What is your life from the standpoint of duration? It's important to know that because the fact is that we only have one time on life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, it's appointed to man once to live, once to die, and then the judgment. These religions that say when you die and you come back, and you die and you come back, and if you live a good life, you'll come back better. If you didn't live a good life, you'll come back in a lower form, or you may come back poorer as a human. Those things are just not true. It's not over and over and over where you get hundreds of chances to try to improve your life. You get one chance. It's here. It's now. We have that one life. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. These particular religions don't have you appear before any kind of judgment seat. You just all of a sudden come back into the world and you are something different than what you were before. The fact is, we must think about the fact of the duration of life. Think if the average person right now in America, the average man lives to be 74, the average woman lives to be 78. Some people have bumped that up. They said the man can live to be 76, the woman to be 80. That may be the case. But if it is the case that the man lives to be 74, and I'm at that death point right now, and life is so brief, it is so short. Yesterday, I was graduating from high school. I remember that day so well. Remember that night. Remember everything about it. But here it's been now since 1969. What has happened all those years that have gone by? It is as quick as you can imagine. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. Life is brief. James says it's like a vapor. You know what a vapor is, it's just there for a second, and then it's gone. Life is that way. Life says, Job said it's like a weaver shuttle. Life is faster than a weaver shuttle. If you've ever seen these weavers, and how the shuttles just go back and forth, that's the way life is. Job also said that life is like a flower. It's cut down and then flees away. The fact of the matter is, we just really don't see how short life is. If the average person lives to be, let's say, 75 to 80, how many years have you got left? How much time do we have left? It is so quick and it's over so fast, we have to say, life is short. Now a person might say, well, I've got lots of time. And I remember thinking that way. I remember when I was in high school, I've got lots of time. I remember people talking about Social Security, and I didn't want to hear anything about it. So what do I want to hear about Social Security? That's for older people. Someone asked me one time, how old are the older people? I said, well, about 30, I would guess. It's the old people. Not so. Not so. Life passes by so quickly. Job also says it's like an eagle hastening to the prey. The fact is, it's here and then gone. We must remember that life is brief when it comes to duration. Secondly, what is your life from the standpoint of purpose? What is your real purpose? Now, it is true, people are trying to add more quantity to life. They're trying to live longer and longer. There's nothing wrong with that. A doctor told me some time ago that if a baby is born today, and the baby does not mess up his life with drugs or tobacco or alcohol or anything like that, if he lives a healthy life and he's pretty normal in just every way, he says, you know, we can almost guarantee that baby will live to be 100. I said, is that true? He said, yes, and you just think what it will be like. He said, well, we've done with geriatrics and the medicine for elderly people. What will it be like 70 years from now, that baby that's born today? They certainly will live to be 100, maybe more at that point. And we try to put so much time in on our lives, but is that really what's important? You remember the oldest man in the Bible? Who is the oldest man in the Bible? Methuselah. How long did he live? 969. Do you know there's only three words said about Methuselah? He lived to be 969, and he died. There's nothing said about Methuselah. Nothing said about anything that he did, good or bad. He just said he lived that long and he died. Now look at Jesus. It says in Luke chapter 3 that he was about 30 years old. He lived on this world about 33 years. He only really had about 3.5 years of ministry. But he affected more people, more lives, changed more circumstances, changed more hearts, changed everything by the life that he lived. Here one lives 169 and does virtually nothing. The other one lives 33, and in 3 years he does everything and changes the world. What is your purpose? Is it to be gaining things and have things in this world, this life? You know, philosophy, some people have, let's eat, drink, be merry. Jesus talked about that in Luke chapter 12, about this rich man. He said, well, I've just got all these barns and all these goods. I'm just going to tear them down. I'm going to build bigger barns and have more goods and more stuff. I'll just take back my ease and eat and drink and be merry. Well, it's not that way. Because as the Bible says, we're all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody's going to have to answer for what they've done. Purpose, some people, is getting more material things. The more stuff you have, the happier you will be. And you get rid of some other stuff so that you can go out and buy more stuff. And when you have that stuff, if you get tired of it, then you get rid of that, and then you can buy more stuff. And if you don't want to sell it, just build a bigger barn and have more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. You don't have to get rid of any of it. That is a fantasy. Because stuff does not make you happy. Oh, it will for a little while. Yes, for every child on Christmas morning, they are just excited as they can be. Yes, they like those new toys, but what's it like the day after Christmas? A lot of times they're tired of those toys already. The fact is, material things, physical things cannot, will not make you happy. Now, why not? You say, well, I want a new phone. I've got to have the newest phone. I have to have the newest iPhone. You know, whatever the number is now, it used to be i9, now it's i10, I think it's i12, maybe it's i15, something like that. So what is it?
i17.
They keep going up. Sooner or later it's going to be i101. I don't know. The fact is, that can't make you happy. Oh, it can help. You can communicate. You can look on your phone. You can use that as a computer. You can look up all the things that you want to look up. That's true. But it won't make you happy. The reason it won't make you happy is because you are basically a spiritual being, not a physical. Oh, give an animal a certain type of food, that animal will be happy. But man needs more than that. Man is a spiritual being. Man has a soul, the animal doesn't. Man has a soul that's going to stand before God in the judgment. Man has a place in his heart for God, what Ecclesiastes says. And we've got to fill that heart, we've got to fill that spot with God. And when we try with physical things, whether it be money, or phones, or cars, or houses, or jewelry, all those physical things, if we say, that's going to make me happy, it won't. It's the devil's lie. But you take spiritual things, you say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do everything God wants me to do. My purpose is going to be to live for the Lord. I'm going to do what the book of Ecclesiastes says. Here at the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to try to be like Jesus in every way that I can. I'm going to love people, even those that are unloving. I'm going to try to do good to people, even those who don't deserve it. I'm going to do like we talked about this morning, that Mr. Scriven. He went to serve everybody. He owned just two items, an axe and a saw. So that he could chop down wood and saw wood for people who didn't have it. That's all he owned. Just so he could serve people. Fear God and keep his commandments. What is your purpose in life? What is your life from the standpoint of purpose? And thirdly, what is your life from the standpoint of destiny? It's really connected to that second one about purpose. The Bible clearly says that there are only two destinies. Jesus said, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Most of the people in this world, in one way or another, are walking on that broad road. They're walking down it, they don't know that they're walking down it. They're living for self, they're living for money, they're living for pleasure, they're living for whatever. They're walking that broad road that leads to destruction. But Jesus also said, straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Will you be one of the few? Will you be one of those few who said, look, I'm going to give up everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to sacrifice everything I can. I realize that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to realize the fact that there is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to avoid. There is a place that I want to go to, the one I die. And whether people say nice things about me or don't say nice things about me, that's really not the issue. We often talk about that. What will they say at your funeral? But the real question is, what will you say at the judgment? That's the real issue. Direction of your life, straight as the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. The thing about this, the destiny is eternal. It's not something that you can say, well, I'll just do this for so many years. I've known people who say, I'm going to do this particular job, and then I'm going to maybe stop and move, get into another job. I knew a man up in Connecticut. He was the chief financial officer for a large company in Hartford. It wasn't an insurance company, but it was a communications company, media company. And he said, I've been working at this job for about 10, maybe 12 years. So he did. And he had saved enough money in that 12-year time that then he'd go out and take another job. He went back to school, got a teaching certificate, then became a teacher after that. Had his life planned out very well. Very faithful Christian, active member of the Lord's body. Wonderful, wonderful man. But there are times when people plan that. But he also planned eternally. He wasn't raised in the Lord's church. He married a girl that was a member of the church, was a Christian, and he obeyed the gospel. It was as strong as you can imagine. Unfortunately, he died of cancer a couple of years ago. What will you do in regard to destiny? What is your life in regard to destiny? Suppose it was right now. Suppose we heard that trumpet sound and looked up in the sky and we saw Christ coming back right now, today, here, right before the service is over. What would be your destiny? What would you say to God? What would you say to Christ? Would you say, well, I was a good person. I contributed to the cancer fund. I gave to St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis. I did this, I did that. Suppose he said, and what else did you do? Suppose he said, did you try to tell anybody about me? Suppose Jesus said, did you tell anybody about the blood that I shed? Did you tell anybody about those hours at Calvary when I was in agony and pain and torture for your sins and for the sins of the world? Did you ever think to tell somebody about that? Did you ever try to encourage somebody? Did you ever read the Bible to somebody? Did you ever quote the Bible to somebody? Did you ever stand up for the Bible when people made fun of it? What would you say to Jesus? Suppose he said, you know, I needed people to help spread the gospel. You never gave 10 cents to the work of the church. You never did anything to help in spreading the gospel. Suppose he says, what about all those people that were sick and that were needed help and encouragement? You never thought one thing about going to see those folks. What would you say at the judgment? Life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. We need to be careful about what we do. Somebody penned this little poem. It's called Life's Clock. The clock of life is wound but once. And no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss. And no man can restore. The present only is our own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. What will you do? We're going to sing the invitation song. If you need to respond to the gospel, we invite you to do it this morning. Think about your life. What is your life in regard to duration, in regard to purpose, in regard to your destiny? You need to obey the gospel, we invite you to do that this morning by putting Christ on in the waters of baptism. You need to, if you dedicate your life, why don't you do that this morning? Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come, we encourage you to come. Always stand and always sing.